Sunday morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson in North Dakota with the Cup of Goodness program. And this program is a continuation of our study through Ephesians. We are in Ephesians chapter 4, and we are going to start with verse 22. Now, this program this morning is going to start us off on a very serious subject. And it's going to take us a number of programs, probably the remainder of this radio program ministry, although I do tend to bunny trail some programs, I suppose you probably already realize that. But we're looking in Ephesians chapter 4, and the subject we're going to get into is in verse 24. And it says, "And that ye put on the new man." This is probably the hardest thing, and I don't mean to make it sound like it's hard, but this is probably the hardest thing for those sincere Christians that have looked to the risen Savior, that have looked to a King James Bible, that have heard the preaching and teaching of the goodness of God, not the severity of God, and yet this is the battle that we all fight every day. In fact, Paul fought the battle every day. Romans chapter 7, he says things like, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." And when he goes through all those verses in Romans chapter 7, he says at the end, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So we're going to start looking at that four-letter word, I call it, and that's the word walk. I jotted down some of the subjects that we've talked about in the previous 66 programs. If you have an understanding of the things that I have talked about, and you see Paul's teachings versus Jesus' teachings, and if you understand these things that I'm going to review this morning, then it's time for us to seriously consider the walk. All of us, even those that have been around the program for years, even those of us that have been in the King James, we always have room to improve. Paul says we've not attained. And Paul said he's never attained. We've not attained yet. The final attenation, that's such a word, will be when Christ takes our works and burns them at the judgment seat of Christ. Then he will make us having attained. But if you don't understand these things, if you don't understand the things I've been talking about in the previous 66 programs, you're not going to understand. You're not going to see what we're talking about here. What you'll probably do is, if even listening to this program, then that means you have some desire to understand some Bible teachings, and you must have some desire to be a Christian in your walk in some form or another. But see, this understanding, this understanding that you need to have to understand Paul's teachings from the risen Savior, it's a marvelous thing. It says in Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." This was Paul's desire, "and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He also says that the hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Paul also says in Timothy, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Do you want your eyes of understanding enlightened? We look to a King James Bible. We look to Paul's teachings. We look to this new man that we are to put on. Go back a verse or two. Let's go back to verse 22. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man." We need to put that off. And it says, "which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Remember, Paul said that with the mind I myself serve the law of God. He wanted to do the right thing, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And if you understand that, and if you understand the difficulty that we make these to be in our lives, they're not difficult to do, we just make them difficult because we have the sin that's in us and we fight that flesh every day. So if you're interested in continuing in this chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, it goes right on in verse 24, "and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, so that he has made us that way." Then it starts off with verse 25, "Wherefore, So if you understand what God is trying to tell us and you're interested in this new man, then thus beginneth the wherefore. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Now, Paul's going to tell us what we should do to please God. And we call that the walk. Now, what's the purpose of even being interested in doing this sort of a thing? What does the scripture say regarding this Christian walk that so many people, and I'm not saying this in a judgmental fashion, it's just becoming very obvious that the walk of a Christian today is very confused. It's getting very perverted. It's getting very weak. It's getting very worldly. It's getting very fleshy. Well, we understand that the Antichrist is coming, so we know that. We understand that that's what has to be presented for Christianity in order for them to fall into his place. But the purpose of being the Christian with our walk. Here's one in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We've been over this one before. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now remember, we're not created in the image of God. We're created in the fallen image of Adam. But now, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God is telling us that we should do these things. Ephesians 5, we're coming up to this one. For ye were sometimes darkness, we were. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. We're told to be aware of our Christian walk. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He tells us we could actually walk worthy of the Lord. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. People claim to be Christians. They claim that they have Jesus as their Savior. Do they have their earthly Jesus teaching so they don't have the real risen Savior? Or are they looking to the risen Savior? If you've got the risen Savior, you walk in the teachings that the risen Savior taught. If you don't have the risen Savior, you want to follow the Jesus teachings from the Gospels, then you're trying to walk in the Jewish teachings, which is a worthless walk. And again, he says in Thessalonians that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. There's a purpose we're told to. We are told to walk in a manner that would please God. So what I have here is I got a list of things that we've been over, that if you understand these things, then you have a desire by now of being willing to walk to please God. Here are things that you should understand that we've talked about here. King James Bible only. Do you understand that whole process, that whole subject? How about rightly dividing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15? How about Paul versus Peter as an apostle? One is to the circumcision and one is to the uncircumcision. Do you know which is which? Well, Peter's to the circumcision, Paul's to the uncircumcision. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. What about going to the other apostles? What about the apostle doctrine? What about early church versus the Gentile church today? Do you understand the differences there now? Can you go to some scriptures to support that and for you to get your assurance of the truth? What about following the risen Savior? How do you follow the risen Savior? Well, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you follow the risen Savior by following Paul as he follows the risen Savior, Christ Jesus. Paul's always talking about the risen Savior. Here are some more subjects. What about Paul and Christ? Isn't it just good enough that we just look to Christ? Well, if we look at Romans 16, for example, here, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, he's talking about Christ, but he's also talking about his gospel, Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of the mystery. So Paul and Jesus Christ are who we're to be looking to. Are you aware of 2 Timothy 1:8? People say that they're not ashamed of Jesus. People say that, they claim that. But do you realize in 2 Timothy 1:8, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. That's Paul. I'm not ashamed of Paul. I'm not ashamed of Christ. Well, let's just save the detail. Let's not turn this into an exhaustive study. This is basically just a long introduction this morning. Are you ready to start looking at the walk? Because that's what Ephesians is going to take us into. It's even going to take us into marriage relationships, individual lives, individual day-to-day walking. And I'm sure that we're going to carry this into now into the weekly program, 8:30 Monday through Friday, the Cup of Goodness. We're going to look at these things that actually please God, because we understand that His goodness will lead us to repentance. Not the severity, not the fear that He's going to chastise us, but the goodness of God. We realize through this list of things I'm going to show you, if you understand these things, then you understand the goodness of God. And because He's been so good to us and to you and for us, we should be willing by now to try to do what we can to walk worthy of Him, as I read in those other verses. Okay, so we started off with the King James Bible. Do you understand the King James Bible issue? And not a modern King James, not a 21st century, but the King James 1611 Bible only. And that Bible must be rightly divided, or you'll find yourself following some dispensational teachings that belong in a different dispensation, a different time, a different part of the Bible. We know the difference between following Paul and following Peter, or the apostles' doctrine. What about following the risen Savior through Paul? We just read a couple verses about Paul and Christ. They are both important. Yes, I know Christ is my Savior, but Paul is my apostle. The risen Savior met with Paul to teach to us Gentiles, and that's what we're looking at here. Do we know the difference between the risen Savior's teachings versus the teachings that Jesus taught to the Jews in the Gospels and also in the Tribulation books, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude? Are you familiar with Christ and the law? What did Christ do regarding the law? Do you have an understanding of sin and the law? Do you realize that sin is not imputed when there is no law? Do you understand what that means? Where no law is, there is no transgression. Do you understand the doctrine of imputation? How about these phrases, dead in sins versus dead to sin, dead to the law, made free from sin? Are you familiar with those? Do you understand the difference between the modern false teaching of being set free versus Paul's teachings of being made free? Do you understand the difference between faith in Christ and the faith of Christ? That's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I just want to talk about these all over again. Do you understand spiritual circumcision? Not the physical circumcision that the Jews had to go through, but the spirit. We call it a spiritual circumcision, operation made without hands. The soul and spirit being cut away from the flesh. That's in Colossians chapter 2. How about the blessing of Abraham? Do you understand the blessing of Abraham? People today call it the blessing of Israel. They think that we should be blessing Israel and God will then bless America. And because we're having these things happen to us in America, it's because we're not supporting Israel like we should. But what we're talking about is the blessing of Abraham. That's in Galatians chapter 3. We're not looking to the Genesis 12 one. Anyway, I could talk about that. How about the judgment seat of Christ? Do you understand the judgment seat of Christ versus the white throne judgment in Revelation? Do you know which one is for the saved person, which one is for the lost person? Do you know what it is that makes a person saved versus the person that's lost? What about these people that are doing good things? They're good moralistic people. And they still end up at the white throne judgment? Judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And what is it that you do that makes good works? Look to Paul's gospel, Romans 2:16. Do you understand the difference between the goodness of God and the severity of God? Who is the severity of God dealt to, and who is receiving the goodness of God? Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Romans chapter 11, verse 22. I may repeat these because my notes here are kind of a mess. I just sat down and I just jotted down things that we've talked about. I jotted down things that we should have an understanding of, and these are the things that if you truly understand them, and you truly see what these things are, which is the goodness of God, then yes, it is time to reconsider putting on the new man. I mean, Christ has put it on us already. So we should be willing to fight this flesh and learn to please God. And how do we do that? Well, we're just going to go through the scriptures over the next weeks now. We're going to look at what it is to please God. Just like it said in Ephesians, that one verse we were going to get right into here, but we stopped because I just believe we have the need to double check to make sure we're ready to do the walk. It's just like a baby. A baby is born and they can't walk. I mean, they can't even roll over. But after a while, they learn to roll over. Then a little while longer, they actually roll over and stop and start to sit up. Before you know it, they're standing up. And before you know it, they're walking barely. And when they walk from the chair to you, Dad or Mom, and they fall, I'm hoping you don't walk over and spank them. I'm hoping you don't chastise them. They're just learning to walk. And the more you encourage them, the more they walk, they giggle, they laugh, they enjoy walking. Before you know it, sure, they fall down and hit their head. Sure, they fall down and trip. Sure, they trip over the cat's tail. But before you know it, they're running, and they're having a great time. Then they get the temptation to walk and run places they wouldn't have gone. And Christ does the same thing to us. His goodness, as we're learning to walk, he doesn't chastise, he doesn't spank, he doesn't punish. He just says, get up, I'm not imputing this stuff to you, let's just get up and let's try it again, and let's just keep going. That is what the goodness of God is all about. That is what the teachings from the risen Savior is all about. I'm not going to be giving you a list of do's and don'ts. That was another bunny trail. What about the way of God? Jesus taught the way of God, and the disciples and the apostles knew that, Matthew 22, verse 16. But what about the way of God more perfectly through Paul? Does that make sense to you? Do you understand that? Do you understand what a minister of righteousness is versus a pastor that preaches and teaches the truth, the word of God rightly divided, the ways of Paul, teaches the risen Savior's teachings? Do you understand what sound doctrine is? What is sound doctrine? What is doctrine that is sound? It's the right stuff. That's in Titus chapter 2. How about Romans chapter 6? What a chapter. Do you understand that Romans chapter 6 is divided into two parts? And it's not telling us to stop sinning. It's telling us what Christ did about sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Then the second half, and they both of these halves start with the same question. The second half starts in verse 15, goes to 23. Does that make sense to you now? Romans is an easy book to understand. It's an exciting book. It's an exciting book. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 25. Do you understand what Paul says there? That must sound tremendously confusing to people who don't understand what he's saying there. Do you understand that you cannot lose your salvation? Do you understand that you cannot lose fellowship with God unless you're the one that walks away? But you still got Christ. You see, he's still in you. But God isn't going to, quote, break fellowship with you. Do you understand that there's no such thing as pastoral final authority or church final authority? Do you understand that if things come to where they're coming to these days and you don't have a church to go to, that you don't have to go to church? Do you understand the difference between, I might have already said this, the early church in Acts chapter 2 versus the Gentile church in Ephesians chapter 4? Do you understand that the Beatitudes aren't written to us? Do you understand those things in the Gospels? The miracles and the wonders and the healings, those are all signs, and we're not the ones that follow signs, it's the Jews. Do you understand the dispensation of grace? Sure, there is grace in all dispensations, but this is the only one that grace is the dispensation. Do you even understand what a dispensation is? Do you understand that your King James Bible is not chronologically in order, but it is in dispensational order? Do you understand what that means? Do you understand about the liberty in Christ? Do you understand what I call the five strings that are attached to that liberty? The Bible does tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me. Do you understand what that means? But do you understand where it also says, but all things are not expedient? All things edify not. We're not to cause someone to stumble. We're not to let them have a power over us. Do you understand the strings that I call being attached? Do you realize that even though all things are lawful, we can still grieve and quench the Spirit of God in our lives? Do you understand that the things that we're going to be talking about are not just a list of do's and don'ts? They're a list of do's and shouldn'ts. But if you do, what's going to happen? Do you understand that your works will be judged? Do you understand how to base what is good, Romans 2:16, based on Paul's teachings? And do you understand, we haven't talked about this one, I don't think. Do you understand that we're not going to have a whole bunch of crowns that we're going to cast at Jesus' feet? Again, that's just preachy preaching and guilt preaching because they try to get people to realize that I think there's five crowns the Baptists say that we can have. Now there's one. The rest are dispensationally out of place the way they preach them. And then the fact that we are going to be the ones that cast them at his feet, no, that's not going to be us. Do you understand the false teachings that are going on in the churches today? Do you understand what the modern Bibles are teaching to the churches? Do you understand what music is doing to the church? What music is doing to you as a Christian? What today's music is doing to your teenager, to your children? Do you understand what these videos about bugs and insects and vegetables are doing to your children? That they're teaching morals, they're teaching Jesus' laws as compared to the risen Savior? Do you understand even what Paul's purposes are? What is his purpose as our apostle? What are his purposes as our minister? Have you heard me talk about those? If you've heard me talk about those, then I would ask you the question, how are you doing in fulfilling Paul's purposes in your life? And if you don't understand what they are, you're not going to like what we're going to get into in the next couple of weeks. Or you're going to misunderstand them. Or you're going to turn them into laws. The teachings from the risen Savior are not laws. They're just the things that please God. Do you understand between the Ten Commandments in Exodus versus what I call, with Paul's teachings, the Nine Commandments? Do you know which one is not repeated in Paul's teachings? Do you understand the difference between the Jewish commandments and the commandments given to us from Paul? Yes, they're called commandments. Do you understand that we are to be looking to Paul's manner of life in our day-to-day living and compare that to Jesus' teachings to the Jews? Do you understand the difference? Do you know where Paul says to follow his manner of life? Could you define in more detail a lost person? Not just the fact that they're lost and going to hell when they die. People just don't want to believe that because how can a loving God have such a hell? Well, if you think about the fact, if hell is so bad, heaven must be so good. And if heaven is so marvelous and so good to be with God, then hell must be so bad to be away from God. But are you able to go beyond the lostness of a lost person and tell them a few of the things that they're missing in their life because they're not saved? That's in Ephesians chapter 2, by the way. Well, I think I've pretty much covered my list of things here. Oh, how about this one? Are you aware of truly how to have communion with the Lord today? Are you aware of the real baptism that you need? Which is not a water one, by the way. And we are going to talk about fastings and what else, the foot washing ceremony this coming week. But we went through those things, laying on of hands, the long hair, short hair issue. We've been over those kind of things. Is there an understanding? See, we have to have a knowledge. You have to have the knowledge of the risen Savior. You have to have a knowledge of these subjects that I talked about today. You have to know what these things are. And when you know those things, an understanding can come from that. And once you get that understanding, then it's time for wisdom to start taking place in our lives. And that wisdom is to know about walking to please God. Now, Paul does say that if you want to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And then I guess I should also ask, do you understand the difference between godliness to the Jews in the tribulation versus godliness today? Does it really mean length of hair, length of skirts, and this kind of stuff? How about this one? Are you aware of the roles that you should fulfill as a husband, father, wife, mother, man, woman, aged woman, aged man? Are you aware of what you should be trying to do to please God in those age areas? No one else to call them. If you are, I'm excited for you because it's time to start looking for some wisdom in our day-to-day life. Wisdom at work. Wisdom when you're at the grocery store. Wisdom downtown. Wisdom as you're walking through the mall. Wisdom as a father towards your children. How do you charge and exhort and comfort your children? What do you teach your children? What do you teach your teenagers? What's going on in your child's school? What's going on in their lives? Are you aware? Are you concerned? Are you ready to put some knowledge into your family, show them these things? You can't expect an understanding if you don't show them the knowledge things. You can't expect your family to follow your wisdom, husbands, if you don't have an understanding or if they don't have an understanding, and they won't have an understanding if they don't have the knowledge. People talk about having a relationship with their Savior, and yet if you look at it, their relationship is usually with their pastor, or it's with their church, or it's with their CD player. They have no relationship with their risen Savior. They've actually, from a scriptural definition, they've got a relationship with the Antichrist. They're just not aware of it. He's the one in Isaiah and Ezekiel that's telling people he's the one that wants to be like the Most High. Do you understand that? Do we understand what is going on in this world today? Do we understand what's going on in religion? Do you understand why we are to despise today's modern religion? Do you understand why we're supposed to destroy the magnificence of this religion today? So we close this morning. If you understand these things, you've got the knowledge, and your understanding is there, it's time for some wisdom. And that's the wisdom in the walk. Or you're going to lose interest. This is where I start losing a lot of Paul-following people. The ones that look to the risen Savior, this is where it starts to, the rubber meets the road, I guess, as they say. They start to give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. They become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They lose interest. They lose a desire to please God because of His goodness. They'd rather just go back and please yourself. I call them grace abusers. It's happening more and more. So I'll stop there this morning. We will talk to you again on Monday morning, 8:30. There might be a program of music. There might be some talking about fastings and foot washing. We'll probably start getting into the walk. We'll probably talk about these things again. I just wanted to make sure that you folks had some knowledge and you have a pretty good understanding. And maybe it's just time that we would be ready to get into the walk that would please God as a Christian. Better shut this thing down this morning and get some music into this thing. And we'll talk to you folks on Monday.